الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى، فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله، ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. رواه البخاري ومسلم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فحياة العلم بالمذاكرة والحرص عليها علامة على محبة العلم الشرعي الذي لا تطيب حياة العالم عالم الإنس والجن إلا به وفي ظله، فأحسنتم بالطلب. نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يفقهنا جميعا في الدين، وأن يجعلنا من العلماء العالمين العاملين. والحديث الذي سمعناه قبل قليل منزلته في الإسلام رفيعة، حتى قيل عنه إنه ثلث العلم أو ربع العلم، وقال عنه أهل التحقيق إن مدار علوم الشريعة على أربعة حديث، منها حديث إنما الأعمال، ويحرص على حفظه وفهم ما دل عليه من المعاني والمذاكرة دائما في هذا الحديث وما يتبعه من الأحاديث التي يطلق عليها الأربعين النووية، وكم نفع الله بها وكم فيها من أحكام تتعلق بالعقيدة وتتعلق بالشعائر التعبدية وتتعلق بالمعاملات والأخلاق والسلوك والترغيب والترهيب، كل ذلك يوجد في أحاديثها، وأحاديثها صحيحة في الجملة والحمد لله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. الشيخ حفظه الله began by saying to proceed the life of the student of knowledge should be by memorizing and by keep preserving the seeking of knowledge, and this is a sign of the love of the legislated knowledge العلم الشرعي, that the life cannot be beautiful without the life of the ins and the jinn, mankind and jinn. And so he said, so well done to you for seeking this knowledge, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he may give us understanding of the religion, and that he may make us of those that understand the religion and act upon it. And the hadith, the narration that we have heard, it has a high position in Islam, and it's also said by some scholars that it's equal to a third or maybe a quarter of the knowledge. And also the people that check a hadith, the masters of a hadith, they say that the ilm revolves around four narrations, and this narration is one of them. So I advise you to preserve what this book has, and this specific hadith, and what comes after it from the 40 hadith, the 40 Anawi hadith. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he benefited many people with it, and also includes and contains many ahkam, rulings and legislations to do with aqeedah, to do with manners, to do with targhib wa tarhib. Targhib wa tarhib is what's to do with the softening of the hearts, and also to warn of admonition, also to warn. Naam, tafadhal ya Sheikh.
Umar ibn al-Khattab هو الخليفة الثاني بعد أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنهما، وله من المناقب والخصائص ما حفلت به كتب السيرة النبوية وحفظته وثائق التاريخ رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: إنما الأعمال بالنيات. في الجملة حصر وقصر، أي إن جميع الأعمال التي يتقرب بها المكلفون من عالم الإنس والجن إلى الله عز وجل صحتها وقبولها بحسن النية، أي ينوي بها التقرب إلى الله تبارك وتعالى. فإن كانت من الفرائض نوى أداء الفرائض أو من الواجبات فكذلك ينوي أداء الواجبات، أو المستحبات أو الأوامر والنواهي والحلال والحرام، كل ذلك من الأعمال التي يجب أن تتقدمها النية الخالصة، أي توجه إلى الله تبارك وتعالى بأداء العمل الشرعي على اختلاف أنواعه رجاء ثواب الله وطاعة لله ومتابعة لرسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. فبحسن النية وحسن القصد يقبل الله عز وجل صالح الأعمال التي شرعها لعباده من عالم الإنس والجن، ويكون التقدير إنما صحة الأعمال وقبولها بالنية التي محلها القصد. نعم.
Umar bin Khattab, who is the second successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the successor of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with them all, has many great situations in Islam and many great stories, and these are mentioned in the book of the Seerah and also the books of history. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all. And his statement, Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, innama al-a'malu bin niyat, the reward of intentions based upon the reward of actions based upon intentions includes and contains, it means that all the actions that the mankind and the jinn, all the actions they do, it's based upon the niyyah, and its validity is based upon the niyyah. So the person should intend to before performing the actions to seek closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this includes all the obligatory actions, and also all the mustahabbat, all the recommended ones, and also all the affairs that are halal and all the affairs that are haram. They should have the intention beforehand, and they should have the correct and sincere intention beforehand, and you should seek to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the good actions, and also to have the intention that you obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're following the way of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh says, and with the correct intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the actions that he's legislated for his slave from the words of the mankind and the jinn, and you judge the actions and its validity by the intention that precedes it.
الكلام على النية، معنى النية معناها القصد والإرادة. تقول نوى كذا، معنى قصده وأراده. وفي اصطلاح العلماء النية هي التي تميز العبادات عن العادات، وتميز العبادات بعضها عن بعض، كل ذلك بالنية التي محلها القلب. ولا يجوز التلفظ بها لا عند الطهارة ولا عند الصلاة ولا الزكاة ولا الصوم ولا غير ذلك من العبادات، وإنما محلها القلب. فينوي الإنسان العمل ويقدم عليه بجوارحه وحواسه. وفي قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى، الجملة قريبة من حيث المعنى من الجملة الأولى، أي أنما من نوى خيرا ظاهرا وباطنا وقصده حصل له ما نواه من الخير، سواء كان من الفرائض المفروضة أو من الواجبات أو المستحبات. ومن نوى غير ذلك أي ضد ذلك، نوى الشر من الأقوال والأفعال الظاهرة والباطنة، حصل له ما نوى وقصده. ومن نوى الشر فبئس ما نوى، ومن قصد الشر على اختلاف أنواعه فبئس ما قصد. لذا فإنه يجب على المكلفين أن ينوي الخير دائما وأبدا، وأن يكون في قلوبهم وفي أحاسيسهم وبجوارحهم أن يكونوا قاصدين لفعل الخير رجاء ثوابه ورضا الله تبارك وتعالى، وما ترتب من الجزاء الحسن على فعل الخير على اختلاف أنواعه من أداء مفروض والقيام بواجب والتقرب بمستحب وترك ما لا يجوز. كل ذلك من قام به فإنه يؤجر ويكون محبوبا عند الله وعند الصالحين من عباد الله. والخلاصة أن من نوى في حياته العملية وهي الحياة الدنيوية، من نوى الخير وحرص عليه وسعى في طريقه وحصله، حدد الله عز وجل له أمله من الجزاء الحسن ورضاه والجنة التي أعدها لأوليائه الصالحين وحزبه المفلحين وجده المنصورين. والعكس بالعكس، من نوى في حياته الشر والفساد طاعة لشياطين الإنس والجن ومتابعة لهم فإن جزاءه من جنس عمله العقوبات العاجلة والآجلة. لذا وجب علينا أن نستيقظ وأن نرحم أنفسنا وأن نعتق نسعى في عتق رقابنا من النار، وكل الناس يغدو في هذه الحياة، فبائع نفسه ومعتقها أو موبقها، معتقها بطاعة الرحمن أقوالها وأفعالها ظاهرها وباطنها، أو موبقها في كذلك ظاهرها وباطنها.
So to speak about the intention and what its meaning is and its definition is that to have al-qasd wal-irada, so to have the intention or to intend to do something or to wish to do something, and that's what the and in the terminology of the scholars and in the definition of the scholars, they say it's what distinguishes between the worships between the worships and the norms, al-adat. And every niyyah, the Shaykh continues by saying every intention, its place is the heart. Its place is the heart. And it's not permissible for you to speak it. It's not permissible for you to speak it, to speak with intention with words. And this is in the case of worship, like salah, siyam, and zakah, or any other type of worship. But rather, it is in the heart, and you do not say it. And the person should seek to do the action. After that, after having intention, should seek to do action with his limbs. As for the second part, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, and every person will get the reward according to what he has intended. Then the Shaykh says the meaning of this part of the hadith is similar to the first part that we just explained, i.e. Any person that has the intention for something in his heart, like this could be anything from the fara'id, from what is or the wajibat, anything that is obligatory, anything that is recommended, and anything from the halal or haram, and he intended intended good with it, then he will have the reward in the same way. He will have he will be rewarded with good. And as for the person who has the wrong intention and the evil intention, then he will have the same reward, same evil reward. So it's upon the persons who will be accounted, and the persons who are old enough to distinguish in ones, they should have the right intention in their hearts and act after that with their limbs. And they should also seek to reach the khair, reach the good. And it's upon you to carry out what is obligatory upon you and leave off what is not permissible for you. And whoever does that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him with that. And he will be loved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will make the people love him too. So the Shaykh says the summary of that is that whoever had the intention in his life, had a good intention in his life, and he preserved that intention, and he sought that intention, and he reached it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for that, and also reward him with the paradise, with the martyrs and the salihin, the pious ones. And also the opposite is true. The one who had an evil intention and preserved that evil intention, and he carried it out with his limbs, then he will be rewarded with the same evil, and will be led to hellfire. And that's for the person who follows his desires and follows the shayateen of the mankind and the jinn. So the Shaykh says it's upon us to free ourselves, and he mentioned the hadith, كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها. Everyone wakes up in the morning. Everyone gets up in the morning and goes to the market and so on. So a person, some people will free themselves, as in free themselves from the hellfire, and some people will degrade themselves in the something that is low. You will degrade yourself. فبائع نفسه, you sell, like a business, you will sell. You either free your soul, or you degrade it.
الذي يعتبر من جوامع الكلم ذكر هجرتين، هجرة إلى الله ورسوله وهجرة لدنيا. فالهجرة الأولى هي الهجرة المحمودة، وهي المأمور بها، وهي التي يتنافس فيها المتنافسون من عباد الله الصالحين وأوليائه المتقين وحزبه المفلحين. قال الله عز وجل: ومن يطع الله ورسوله فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. فكل طاعة لله عز وجل من مفروض أو واجب أو مستحب أو ترك محرم ومكروه، كل هجرة إلى الله عز وجل إنما هي تتجلى في طاعته وفي متابعة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أقواله وأفعاله الظاهرة والباطنة. هي هجرة إلى رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام، والخلاصة أن الهجرة إلى الله وإلى رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام بامتثال أوامرهما واجتناب نواهيهما والسير فيما جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربه تبارك وتعالى يتجلى في كتاب الله الفرقان الذي قال الله فيه تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا، ويتجلى في سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التي قال فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا إني أوتيت القرآن ومثله معه، فهي وحي من الله تبارك وتعالى، ولا بد من تعلمها بقدر المستطاع والعمل بما دلت عليه من الأحكام الشرعية على اختلاف أنواعها، سواء منها ما اتفق مع القرآن أو ما جاء بأحكام جديدة أو ما جاء بيانا لكتاب الله عز وجل، وهو قسم كبير من السنة المطهرة جاءت تبيانا لكيفية الفرائض والواجبات، وهو أمر لا يخفى على طلاب العلم.
And his statement, i.e. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, the statement of the messenger in the end of the narration that there are two types, we gather there are two types of migration. One for the sake of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other one for the migration for the dunya. So the first one, the migration for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then this is the praiseworthy migration, and is the one that we were commanded with, and this is what the ones who compete, this is what they compete with from the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious ones, and from the martyrs and the hizb of Allah, the group of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and whoever obeyed Allah and the messenger, then they are with the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed his mercy upon, from the truthful ones and the martyrs and the messengers. And every obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be every obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every migration for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes apparent in his worship and his and the way of obedience, and every following of the way of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be apparent in following his statements and following his actions, the ones apparent and the ones which are hidden. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah then carries on by saying, so to summarize, this point is that this type of hijrah, this type of migration, which is which you follow the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you take his commandments and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger, and you leave off and you desert what they made haram for you, what they made prohibited for you, and also to follow in the what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was revealed with, then this this becomes apparent in the what is mentioned in the Quran, in the book of Furqan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تبارك الذي نزل على عبده الفرقان ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Blessed may he be the one who revealed the Furqan, i.e. the Quran, to for mankind, so it can be admonition for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in the hadith, "Ala ani utitu al-Qur'ana wa mithlahu ma'ah." I have been given indeed the Quran. I was revealed the Quran and something that is equivalent to it with it, meaning the Sunnah. And so the Sheikh says, then the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a revelation from Allah, and it's upon us to learn it as much as we can and seek this knowledge as much as we can. And this is referring to the Quran and Sunnah together, not just one of them.
والخلاصة لهذه الهجرة هي أنها تتجلى في طاعة الله عز وجل جملة وتفصيلا وفي طاعة رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام كذلك. قال الله عز وجل: من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله ومن تولى فما أرسلناك عليهم عظيما. وبقيت الهجرة المذمومة التي هي أخشى هذه الهجرة المحبوبة المطلوبة، وذلك كإيثار الدنيا على الآخرة والانبعاث في المعاصي على اختلاف أنواعها. وقضى الله عز وجل أن يجازي كل عامل من جنس عمله، من عمل صالحا فلنفسه ومن أساء فعليها وما ربك بظلام للعبيد. وكل عمل يخالف مراد الله ومراد رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام من طاعة لشياطين الإنس والجن فهو من الهجرة المذمومة التي يجب على المكلف من عالم الإنس والجن أن يبتعد عنها وأن يكون مهاجرا إلى الله وإلى رسوله ليقدم على رصيد نافع من صالح الأعمال يوجب له رضا الله ودخول جنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض أعدت الذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. ونختفي بهذا القدر من التعليقات اليسيرة على هذا الحديث الجليل الذي أوضحه الشراح وتوسعوا فيه، ومن أوسع الشروح لهذا الحديث كتاب يسمى جامع العلم والحكم لابن رجب رحمه الله. وإلى أن نلتقي مرة أخرى أستودعكم الله تبارك وتعالى، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
يقول: عندهم في حيهم هناك بعض الأخوة يأتون بشبه، يقولون بأن هناك أناس أفضل من الصحابة، ويستدلون بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: فليبلغ الشاهد الغائب، ويقول: رب مبلغ أو عام سامع. فكيف يرد على مثل هذا؟
يرد على مثل هذه الشبهة بأن الإجماع منعقد من عصر النبوة إلى يومنا هذا وإلى يوم القيامة أن أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هم أفضل أمته على الإطلاق. وأساس هذا الإجماع واستناده إلى آيات من القرآن الكريم وأحاديث من السنة المطهرة، فقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: دعوا لي أصحابي ولو أنفق أحدهم مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفه. فالحديث صريح على أنه ليس لا يساويهم أحد ممن جاء بعدهم لما لهم من فضل الصحبة وحمل العلم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكتاب والسنة وتبليغ العلم وجهاده في البرير حتى فتحوا كل الدنيا بالإسلام وشعائر الإسلام. ورضي الله عن ترجمان القرآن حبر الأمة بن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه قال مقام واحد من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خير من عمل أحدكم طول عمره. فيا شبهة واهية وليس لها أصل من الصحة فاكتفوا بآيات القرآن التي فيها فضل الصحابة ورضى الله عنهم وأحاديث صلى الله عليه وسلم والإجماع من أئمة العلم وطلاب العلم على أن الصحابة الكرام هم أفضل أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والله أعلم.
ما حكم الصلاة خلف شخص يلبس بنطلون؟
يمكن في البلاد التي أغلب اللبس فيها البنطال هذا، فإذا كانت العورة مستورة صحت الصلاة خلفه، ومن صحت صلاته صحت الصلاة خلفه. ويرشد الناس إلى اللباس الشرعي الذي كان يلبسه المسلمون من القميص والإزار والرداء، ومن ابتلي بهذه الألبسة التي هي من ألبسة الكفار ولبسها من المسلمين فصلاته صحيحة، وإذا كان شاكرا له فلا حرج عليه، إلا أنه ترك الأفضل والأحسن والأجمل.
هل تجوز الصلاة وقت المطر في البيت أم لا بد أن تكون في المسجد؟
في وقت المطر الذي يبل الثياب ويكون الشوارع فيها الماء، كل يصلي في بيته، وإن وجد جماعة في البيت صلوا جماعة، ويقال للمؤذن إذا جاء إلى قول حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح يقول ألا صلوا في رحالكم، وهو إذن من الشرع في وقت المطر والثلوج التي تحول بين الوصول إلى المساجد أن يصلي الإنسان في بيته ولا حرج، وهذا تيسير من الله عز وجل ورحمة لعباده المؤمنين.
So the Sheikh said as a summary to this type of migration, the Sheikh said as a summary to this migration is that it is a migration of the way of to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, من يطع الله من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. Whoever obeyed the messenger, then he indeed has obeyed Allah. And on the other hand, there's another unpraiseworthy migration, which is to follow the desires and which leads to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Sheikh said that everyone should be rewarded. Every person who does an action should be rewarded, just like the type of action he's done. So, and Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, whoever had done an action, a righteous action, then it's for himself. And whoever disobeyed Allah, whoever done a righteous action, then for himself, and whoever transgressed, then against it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your Lord is not oppressor to the slaves. So every action, the Shaykh said, that is in accordance to the obedience of the shaitan, then this is the other type of migration that has been discussed here. And you should seek to stay away from this type of migration and this type of following the desires. Because you should come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a day of judgment with something that is sufficient for you to take you to the paradise, to the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is bigger than the heavens and the earth. And this is the this is the mercy of Allah, and this is the blessing of Allah. He gives it to whom he wishes. And the Shaykh here says, we stop here inshallah for this lesson, and we take it inshallah next week, next month, afwan, we pick it up. So until then, we leave you inshallah, and we meet you the next time. We're going to translate some of the questions now that were put forward, and we apologize to the brothers, we could not put all the questions forward because the Sheikh has a limited time, so we can only take a few questions each session. So inshallah, for next time, just bear that in mind, and we try to do as best as we can, and we get the questions that we received first and then put them through to the Sheikh. And if the questions are related to the topic, that would be much better, because we're here to benefit from the book, and we're here to gain some knowledge. So if it's related to the topic, then we try to put that forward before the other questions. Otherwise, we'll just take the questions that are available. The first question is, some people say that there are people who are better and more understanding the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they use for their proofs that the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let the one who's present tell the one who's absent, so that maybe someone who's not there has a better understanding than the person that was present. The Sheikh Hafidhullah answered this by saying, you answer this type of or you reply to this type of misconception by saying that ijma', to have the consensus, is munaqid. How do you say munaqid? Ijma' munaqid. So ijma' that is agreed upon. There's a. And in the translation of the question, that some of these people, they say that these people have more understanding than the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they use that hadith that I mentioned as proof. So ijma' al-mun'aqid, the ijma' that has no disagreement, is a consensus that has no disagreement in it. And the Sheikh says the companions of Allah, the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're the best of people, they're the best of the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all, of all the nations. And this the ijma' is proof is in the Quran and the Sunnah. This consensus has proof in the Quran and the Sunnah. Like the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, leave my companions to me, for indeed if one of you was to spend what is equal to the mountain of Uhud in gold, then you would reach the status, or half of it. A handful, naam. Afwan, handful. It was handful, yeah. Or a handful of that. Handful or half of it. And the Sheikh says here, the hadith is clear, and it shows that no one is equal to them. No one is equal to them from the ones that came after them. No one is equal to them, because they have so much virtue in carrying out the Sunnah and holding the flag of the Sunnah, and to also to spread the knowledge, and to fight in the way of Allah, and to do jihad right until they conquered the world and they spread Islam. And narrated by Ibn Abbas, rahimahullah, he said, the status of one of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better than all of the actions of one of you in the whole of the dunya. Subhanallah. The second question was, what is the ruling regarding praying in trousers? Yeah? Praying behind someone who wears trousers. The Shaykh Hafidhullah says, in the country where you live in a place where you live in, and most of the dress wear is what you wear is trousers. Most of the people wear trousers. It's common there that people wear trousers. Then if the person covered his awrah, his private parts, and what is not permissible for him to show, then his salah is correct, then his prayer is correct. And people should be taught that the legislated clothing, like the qamis or the thawb or the even the izar, where you wrap around your waist, this is what you really should be wearing, especially in salah. And whoever was afflicted with wearing of the trousers, which is clearly from the clothes of the or the non-Muslims, then his prayer is correct as so long as that he covers his private parts and what is not permissible for him to show in the salah. But also keeping in mind, the Sheikh says that if he leaves off wearing the trousers, is much better and much more better and closer to the sunnah. The third question and the last one is, do you have to pray in the mosque when it is raining, or can you pray at home? The Sheikh Hafidullah says, in the times of rain, the type of rain that wets the clothes, makes the clothes wet, and makes the streets like flooded or floody, then everyone prays in his house. Everyone prays in his house. And if there was a jama'ah, congregation in the house, then you pray there. And you tell the imam, you tell the muadhin, afwan, the person who makes the adhan, then that he should say, instead of saying hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, you say, he says ala sallu fi rihalikum. Rihalikum is in where you ride, isn't it? Where you ride, isn't it? But it means rihalikum. Ala sallu fi rihalikum means, general translation means, pray where you are. Pray where you are. So instead of saying hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, you say ala sallu fi rihalikum. And the Sheikh says this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an allowance in, and he made it easy for us in the times of rain. So in the times of rain that wets the clothes or makes the streets a bit floody, you pray at home. And inshallah, until next month, we stop here, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And if I made any mistake, then it's from the shaitan and from me. And if I made any and if I said any correct statement, then from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.